An hour later, with 2 weeks of trail dust scrubbed off him and sporting a fresh shave and haircut, Frank walked over to the Bluebird for something to eat. Doc Evans was there, having a piece of pie and a cup of coffee. He waved Frank over to his table by the window.
I just saw Ed and Elsie come into town. They went straight to John Witter's office.
I knew something would come along to spoil my good mood.
Well, they weren't cussing or fighting with each other.
The waitress walked over and Frank ordered coffee and a meal.
John will probably try to get bail set for little Ed.
Any chance of that?
I don't think so. Although they might try to buy off the judge.
Yeah, that won't happen. Not with Judge Bledsoe. That judge can't be bought.
I hope not.
Tom's been looking around, trying to learn who slipped that gun to little Ed.
Any luck?
No. He figures it was an ES hand. You noticed the fence by the side of the jail?
Uh-huh.
Town ordered that built. Makes it harder for anyone to get to the cell windows. Tom scattered tin cans and bottles on the ground in the area. Anyone gets over the fence now, he'll make a racket trying to walk.
Good thinking on his part. I'm gonna go bunk at the jail until the trial is over. I'll move some of my gear over this afternoon.
Good idea. That should definitely make it more difficult for anyone to break jail.
When is the judge due here?
I think Tom sent a wire today, as soon as you brought little Ed in. Judge should be here in a few days. Uh-oh. Here comes Big Ed and Elsie. Just in time to aid indigestion.
That's one way of putting it.
Doc? Morgan?
Greetings, gentlemen.
Can I see my son, Morgan?
Sure, Ed. I was just finishing up. But I'm sure Tom is in his office.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm sort of ashamed to face old Tom. Ashamed of what my son did.
Come on, we'll go see your son.
Is he hurt at all? Do you need me to look at him?
He isn't hurt. I persuaded him to come along peacefully.
Well, thank you for that, Morgan. We both appreciate it, me and my wife.
You feel all right, Ed?
I feel all right, Doc. You're sort of down about my son's situation, that's all.
Well, that's understandable. Elsie?
I'm all right, Doc. Like Ed, I'm sort of down in the mouth about little Ed for acting so damn stupid.
Me and Elsie talked it over on the way into town. We both know little Ed is gonna do hard time for his crime. Don't neither one of us like that, but it's fitting for what he done, and it's mainly my fault for not being a better father. I failed bad with little Ed. Now he's gonna have to pay for my failure.
And mine. Thank God we have two good kids back east.
And we have some apologizing to do to them. A lot of apologizing. And we plan to do it real soon.
Glad to hear it, Ed. Congratulations on you both rejoining the human race.
I reckon we deserve that, Doc. Hell, I know I did.
Me too. But him more than me.
She's right about that.
Come on, I'll let you in to see Ed.
Mind if I tag along?
Not at all.
Tom was just walking out of the office onto the boardwalk when they arrived. Tom hesitated for just a second, then stuck out his hand to Big Ed. Ed immediately took the peace offering and shook it.
I can't tell you how sorry and ashamed I am, Tom.
That goes for both of us.
It's all right, Ed, Elsie. It's behind us, and it's a brand new day. Oh, little Ed is anxious to see you both. I was just on my way to get you.
I reckon we have to see him, but I'm not looking forward to it. I've arranged for John Witter to represent him, for all the good it'll do.
Go on in, Ed. Cell block door's open. We'll wait out here. Help yourselves to coffee. It's fresh. Just made it.
Well, thanks.
What a change in those two.
I couldn't believe it myself. But sometimes a family tragedy will do that to people.
I think it's a miracle.
How's your head feeling?
Oh, just fine, Doc. When can you take off this big bandage?
Well, today, if you like. I want to look at the wound anyway.
Suits me. I've been missing wearing my hat. Oh, hell.
Big Ed's been shot! Little Ed grabbed his gun and shot him! Then he shot the lock off and ran out the back door! The little shit shot his own father! I can't believe it!
Frank ran around to the side of the jail. The new fence blocked him, and of course there was no gate. He ran back around to the front and down the small alleyway, finally reaching the rear of the jail. Little Ed had vanished into the thick timber that lay only 100 or so yards all around the town.
I'll get a posse together for all the good it'll do. That timber is thick, with dozens of places to hide. A mile further on, there's caves. Doc's with Big Ed. I'll see you, Frank. Take care of things.
Will do. You be careful, Tom.
He's hard hit, Frank. I don't want to move him just yet. Stay with him. I gotta get some things from my office.
Elsie was sitting on the floor next to her husband, weeping into her hands. Big Ed motioned for Frank to kneel down beside him.
You're gonna have to kill him, Frank. I see that now.
Don't talk, Ed. Save your strength.
No. Listen to me. The boy's half crazy. He's kill crazy. I've seen it in other men, and so have you. I should have seen it sooner, but he was my son. You understand, don't you, Frank? Don't you?
I understand, Ed. I really do.
Don't give him no chance at all, Frank. If you do, he'll kill you. He can't be trusted. Boy that had shoot his own father. I never dreamed he'd try to grab my gun.
Don't you die on me, you big bastard. I love you, and you know I do.
I know, baby. I know you do. And I love you. We sure picked some funny ways to show it, didn't we?
All that is going to change, Ed. I promise you it will. I need you, Ed. We need each other, don't we?
We sure do, baby.
Elsie, get out of the way. I've got to work on Ed. Go make me a pot of hot water for these instruments.
Right away, Doc.
Yeah, get me some blankets, Frank. I've got to work on him right here where he is. I don't want to move him. I got a probe for that bullet. And you got to hold him down while I do so.
I've seen it done before.
I imagine you have.
It was a nerve-wracking and very painful next few minutes. Big Ed finally, mercifully, passed out from the pain. Doc Evans located the bullet and extracted it from Ed's chest, then leaned back and wiped his sweaty face, laying aside his bloody instruments.
Will he live, Doc?
He's got a chance, Elsie. A small one. I won't lie to you about that. But Ed is strong as a mule, and that'll work in his favor. In a few minutes, we'll get some men in here and move Ed to a bunk here in this building. I don't want to move him around any more than is absolutely necessary. Not for the next 24 hours, at least.
I'll stay right with him all the time. I promise you, I will not leave his side.
I know you won't, Elsie.
How about some coffee, Doc?
Sounds good. I think I could drink a whole pot.
Big Ed was moved into the small room where Frank was going to sleep and made as comfortable as possible in the bunk. A rocking chair was brought over by Jack O'Malley for Elsie. Frank made another pot of coffee, and while the grounds were settling, stepped outside to sit on the bench and roll a cigarette.
Oh. Is Big Ed going to make it?
It's touch and go right now.
Very difficult for me to believe his very own son shot him.
Ed admitted to me that little Ed is crazy. Told me I'd have to kill him, and don't give him any chance at all.
How awful.
Yeah, especially about your own son. But this mess sure has brought Ed and Elsie closer together.
I heard. And that is also hard to believe.
It was a shock to me and Tom, too.
It'll be dark soon. Tom and the posse should be riding in any time now. I hope they found little Ed.
I bet they didn't. That's rough country Ed took off in. Lots of places for a lone man to hide.
That means you'll have to go after him, doesn't it?
Probably.
I hate that. I worried about you every day you were gone.
It's good to know somebody worried about me. It's a good feeling. But not a feeling I'm accustomed to.
Get used to it.
Yes, ma'am.
Over at the Purple Lily, a woman laughed at something, the shrill sound drifting to the couple seated on the bench.
I don't think that was a very happy laugh. It sounded, rather sad to me, I suppose.
Paid laughter, Laura. Drink a bad whiskey, silver dollar given for a few moments of company.
That makes it even sadder. Have you ever paid a woman for company?
No. Always figured that would be very questionable company at best.
I'm glad.
Here comes Tom and the posse. Don't believe they found little Ed.
That means you'll go after him. When will you leave?
If I go, probably in the morning.
If you go?
I'll tell Tom my thoughts on it. That it'll be useless to go after him. Little Ed will show up around here. I don't think it'll be long, either. He'll come back for clothes and money, food. But he'd better not count on his mother giving it to him.
What do you mean? You think she'll turn him in?
No, I think she'll shoot him.
Big Ed rallied early the next morning and opened his eyes.
Frank, could you please go get Doc Evans? I don't want to leave Big Ed's side.
Be glad to.
How you feel, you big ox?
Oh, like a man who's been shot, you old quack.
Now that sounds like Big Ed I know. Let me take a look at that wound. No sign of infection. I think you're going to be all right, Ed.
Oh, I'm going to make it, Doc. I want to kick the snot out of that worthless son of mine and then turn him over to Tom.
After I get done kicking his ass.
Now, Elsie. Morgan, I want you to know I never sanctioned no hanging. That was all little Ed's doings. I run off some nesters, yeah, I admit that, but I never shot none. And I damn sure never hang none.
Both of us talk big, Morgan. But mainly it's just talk. There's been a lot of rumor about us, and that's mostly all it is, rumor. Except for our running around on each other. I got to admit, that's pretty much true.
Done out of spite. Pure stupid spite against each other. Oh, I gotta rest some. Don't leave me, Elsie.
I won't, Ed. I promise you I'll be right here when you wake up.
Really burying their souls in there, aren't they, Doc?
Yeah, sometimes getting real close to death will do that, Frank. I've seen it happen more than once. Whether it'll stay with them after Ed gets on his feet is another matter.
You know, Doc, I think it will.
Just might be right, Frank. Here comes Tom. You want to have some coffee?
Sure. More than that, I haven't had breakfast yet.
I'm sure Tom will join you in a snack.
If I pay for it, yeah.
And you will.
Of course. I always end up doing that.
Mind if I ask you a personal question, Frank?
Go right ahead.
Are the rumors true that you're a wealthy man?
Moderately so, yeah.
Yet, you still drift aimlessly around the West.
Doing what I want to do, Doc.
Are you? Really?
For the most part, yeah.
Why don't you go abroad, Frank? Like maybe, France. See the country.
I don't speak the language.
How about Italy?
I don't speak that language either.
You don't have to speak the language to enjoy the country, Frank.
I reckon they got grass and trees and valleys and mountains and hills, Doc. So do we right here. They got rivers and creeks. So do we. They got fancy food in the cities of France and Italy, so I've heard tell. But I bet none of them has ever sat down to a buffalo steak cooked over a campfire while the wolves sang in the background. I bet none of those fancy city folks over there has ever camped in the mountains and cooked and eaten a fresh-caught trout and been entertained by camp robber birds and squirrels or watched an eagle soar high in the sky. They got old buildings over there, so I'm told. So what? Who the hell wants to sail across the ocean to look at an old building? Boys, I've seen canyons down in Northwest Arizona territory that'll take your breath away. They're damn near unbelievable. And the redwood trees you got right here in California are a sight to behold. Beautiful. Almost spiritual. And I'm not a religious man. Some of those trees have been here for a couple of thousand years. That'll make a man start thinking about God. At least it did for this man. I'd go visit New York City, maybe. Except those folks have had their freedoms took from them by all the rules and regulations and laws. Man can't be a man back there. Hell, you can't even carry a gun back there. You get in trouble, you have to call for a police officer to settle it for you. That's nonsense. I'll saddle my own horses and kill my own snakes. I don't need anybody else to do that for me. I don't want anybody else to do that for me.
That is the longest comment I've ever heard you make, Frank. In its own way, it was quite eloquent.
Wasn't meant to be, Doc. Just stating a fact.
But are you happy, Frank?
I've been asked that before, Doc. Happy? I don't know. But I do know I'm content.
The Contented Wanderer. Sounds like the title of a book.
Or a song.
Let's get off the subject of me. Get on to more important things. Tom, have you heard anything else about Val Dooley?
Not a word, Frank. That sort of worries me. But there was a wire delivered to my house early this morning. Sheriff Davis and those deputies of his gave up looking for his sister. They headed on back home. Said to tell you thanks for your help.
She's close by. I'd take a bet on that. She's not done with me or this town yet.
Yeah, that doesn't make me very happy. Because if she comes back here again shooting up the place, somebody's going to put lead in her.
I hope not, Tom. The woman is obviously deranged.
I don't know about deranged, Doc. But I do know she's acting as crazy as a preacher in a whorehouse.
Tom, did you wire the judge about Little Ed's breaking jail?
Yep. He put off his trip here. Reading between the lines of his wire, I got the notion the judge would be happy if we'd just shoot Little Ed and be done with the matter.
Well, the judge doesn't like to travel. He has gout. And when it flares up, he can be very testy.
I don't believe we'll take Little Ed alive either. Not again. I think he'll go down shooting.
Be good for all concerned if he does just that. Put an end to the matter. I'll be at the office. I want to get some food to take to Elsie. I don't think she's eaten since Big Ed got plugged.
Later that day, Frank and Laura were having their supper at the Bluebird Cafe. Few people paid any attention to Frank and Laura now. Their being together was accepted by the majority of the locals. Many secretly hoped the two would eventually marry and settle down in the community.
Did you have your new suit pressed for this weekend's opera event?
All ready to go.
You're going to look very dashing, Frank.
You're very good for my ego, Laura. I don't believe anyone has ever referred to me as dashing.
Frank? Miss Laura?
Tom, won't you sit down and have something to eat?
No thanks, Miss Laura. This is business, but thank you. Frank, Val Dooley and his gang just hit a town south of us. They robbed the bank and took some women hostage. Two girls in there, teens and a grown woman. The woman was a customer in the bank making a deposit. The gang was heading north, straight towards us.
You want me to get a posse together?
No, I want you to stay here and look after things. At the marshal's request, I'm getting together some men and heading out in a few minutes. I'd feel a lot better if you were staying here in town. And Frank, the marshal down at Dixville said in the wire the Dooley gang killed two citizens.
That doesn't surprise me at all, Tom. All right, I'll look after things here in town. Don't worry about that.
Thanks, Frank. I'll see you.
Tom is getting entirely too old for this sort of thing.
It's his job, Laura, and he takes it seriously.
But I'm glad you're staying here in town, Frank.
Finish your meal, Laura. I'll walk you back to the hotel. Then I want to read that wire Tom received.
He just told you what it said.
I know, but I want to read it personal.
Whatever on earth for?
I'm nosy.
With Laura safely back at the hotel, Frank read the wire and then walked over to the telegraph office and spoke to the agent.
Did you copy this wire?
Sure did, Mr. Morgan. Something wrong with it?
Did it seem right to you?
What do you mean?
The telegrapher's touch on the key.
Say, now that you mention it, it wasn't Nick's touch. No, sir, it sure wasn't. I just figured he was training a new person, that's all. Why'd you ask?
Can you send a wire to Dixville?
No, sorry. I can't send or receive anything to or from south of here. Wires are down, I reckon.
Thanks.
Frank went over to O'Malley's general store and told Jack of his suspicions.
But Frank, Dixville is a half day's ride from here. If the robbery just occurred, we have hours to get ready.
No, listen to me. There was no robbery, Jack. I'll make you a wager the Dooley gang wasn't 5 miles from here when they tapped into the wire and sent that message.
I'll alert the men, Frank. If you're right, and I bet you are, we don't have much time.
Move, Jack. Get the men into position.
On the boardwalk, Frank ran down to the Purple Lily and looked inside. The saloon was deserted, with not a single patron. That cinched it in Frank's mind. A raid on the town was imminent. Many of the ne'er-do-wells who had drifted into town had joined up with Val Dooley. Frank ran over to the office and grabbed a rifle from the rack, then stuffed his pockets with cartridges. He stuck a pistol behind his gun belt and stepped outside. The long main street was deserted, devoid of foot traffic. Horses had been ridden or led away from the hitch rails. Most of the businesses had closed their doors. Frank looked up to the rooftops of the businesses. Men were lined up all along Main Street on both sides with rifles and shotguns. The Dooley gang was going to be in for a bloody surprise when they hit this town, for many of the men were veterans of numerous battles, outlaws, rustlers, Indian wars, the War of Northern Aggression, or a combination of all of them. These men couldn't be frightened off, and they wouldn't quit. They would go down fighting. Frank looked up at the sound of a galloping horse. It was the old wrangler from the livery.
They're on the way! About a mile out of town now. About 30 or 40 of them look to me. They'll be here shortly. I'll be in the loft of the livery. Hey, good luck to all of us. We're damn sure gonna need it against that gang.
Matthew led his horse into the livery and closed the big doors behind him.
So the Dooley gang waited until Tom and the posse had passed their hiding place, then headed south before they rode out to the north to the town.
We're ready as we can be, Frank. I'm ready to receive wounded. I know there'll be some.
Ready over here, Frank!
They're coming in from both ends of the street. Some of them must have circled around. Good God, there's gotta be 50 of them.
Damn.
Frank levered around into the rifle and stepped into the mouth of an alley. Dooley's men dismounted, and Val split his gang up into small teams of 3 to 5 men, sending them all over town. Gunfire and the screaming of women echoed throughout the town as outlaws kicked in the doors to private homes, terrorizing the residents. A bullet dug a furrow in the wood of the building, just inches from Frank's head, sending tiny splinters into his face and neck. Frank dropped to one knee and leveled his rifle. Frank turned his attention back to the street just in time to see a local take a round in the head and fall from the rooftop of the bank, crashing through the awning of the boardwalk. One of the men Frank had seen loafing in the Purple Lily came running up the boardwalk, a pistol in each hand, firing indiscriminately. Frank sighted him in, squeezed the trigger. Frank could hear a woman screaming in one of the houses just behind the main street, but could not tell for sure which house it came from. He turned his attention back to the main street as a man carrying a bundle of something tried to make it into the bank. A shotgun roared from inside the bank building, and the man was lifted off his feet and flung out into the street.
Good Lord, nitro. Dangerous stuff to handle. Why would the Dooley gang choose to use that stuff instead of dynamite?
Go in the back of the bank! Blow the safe!
They'll never make it.
Seconds later, heavy gunfire erupted from the bank building. The banker and his tellers were all heavily armed and making a fight of it.
Get away from me, you crook!
Frank turned his head just in time to see an outlaw come stumbling out the front door of a house. Mrs. Hochstetler in pursuit, wielding a large broom.
Take that, you ruffian!
She whacked the outlaw on the back of the head, sending him rolling ass over elbows off the porch and into the yard.
I hear you, you fat pig!
You filth! How dare you call me names, you white trash!
Oh! The broom connected with the back of the man's head and knocked him flat on the ground. Mrs. Hochstetler jumped on him just as he was getting to his feet, all her considerable weight landing on the man, once again knocking the outlaw to the ground.
Helpless woman!
Helpless, my foot.
This ain't working! We done lost too many men! Let's get the hell out of here! Let's go! Back to your horses! It's over!
Frank waited, counting as many of the dead and the wounded as he could. 8 outlaws and 2 local men were dead in the street.
Hey! Wait for me!
Frank looked behind him. The outlaw, Mrs. Hochstetler, had been pummeling with the broom, had gotten to his feet, and taken off running.
Ha ha! They're gone! Riding out, heading toward the west!
Frank stepped out of the alley and walked across the street to the hotel. As soon as he stepped into the lobby, waves of panic hit him. He fought them down and walked swiftly to the desk clerk, who was sprawled in a pool of blood. The man was dead. Frank took the steps 2 at a time, heading for Laura's room. The door had been smashed open. Laura was gone.
My daughter's gone! The bad horse took my girl!
Doc Evans, come quick! My wife's been hit on the head and is bleeding real bad!
The bike was secondary. Those bastards were after women.
They've done this before. They hit a town and kidnap half a dozen women. They rape them, and when they're finished with them, sometimes turn them loose.
Sometimes? Or they kill them?
Only if they've caused them a lot of trouble. More often than not, they sell them into whorehouses along the old Barbary coast. Sometimes the women escape and make it back home, but not many of them.
Maybe they're shipped out to Mexico or other places?
Could be. I've heard of that happening.
Frank walked over to Doc Evans' office. The doctor was busy patching up a local, and he worked while Frank told him what had happened to some of the town's women.
I'm heading out, Doc. I'd appreciate it if you'd take care of Wolf while I'm gone. I'm gonna be moving fast, and Wolf just couldn't keep up.
I'll do it, Frank. I like Wolf, and he likes me. He can sleep right here.
Thanks. I'll bring him by right now.
Frank went to the livery and got Wolf, taking him to Doc's office and telling him to stay. Wolf would obey him. He might not like it, but he would stay. Frank then provisioned up and put several boxes of rifle and pistol cartridges in his saddlebags. Jack O'Malley and several other local men came to see him in the livery.
You going after him, Frank? Alone?
I operate better when I'm alone, Jack. I can move faster, too.
The owner of the Bluebird Cafe handed Frank a sack.
Fresh baked bread in there. I baked it this morning.
Thanks, Paul. Would you save some scraps for Wolf? He's staying over at Doc Evans while I'm gone.
I'll take some over to him personal every day, Frank. I'll feed him well. You have my word on that.
I appreciate it.
We'll look after the town, Frank. And we're riding with you, in a manner of speaking.
I know.
The owner of the Gold Nugget Saloon walked up to Frank.
They got my daughter, Frank. Nellie. She's only 15. You bring her back to me and the missus, Frank. Please?
I'll do my best, George.
Half a dozen women was taken, Frank. Laura, Nellie, Dixie Malone, Harriet Baker, Lydia Wilson. She's only 14. And Penny Tucker. Half a dozen that we know of, that is. There might well be more from this town or the surrounding area. Probably are.
Probably.
You be careful, Frank.
I'll bring those women back, if at all possible.
Frank picked up the trail of the gang and began following it, heading south. It was probable that a few hours after the abortive raid against the town, the gang split up into half a dozen smaller groups. Frank kept on the trail of the larger group, heading straight south. That was the group he was sure had the women. Judging from the imprint the horse's hooves made in soft earth, none of the women were doubled up on a single horse. As near as Frank could figure it, he was following 16 people. 6 women and 10 of the Dooley gang, including Val. Approaching darkness forced Frank to call a halt and to make camp. It was just as well, for Stormy was getting tired. Frank built a hat-sized fire, and while water for coffee was boiling, he fixed himself dinner.
It's a sure bet that some, if not all, of the hostages have been assaulted by now. And it's probable that all of them have been beaten into submission. God help those bastards, because I sure as hell won't.
Frank doggedly followed the trail of the Dooley gang. At mid-morning of the second day out, he found where the gang had camped the night before. He found a piece of torn dress and the remnants of a woman's undergarments.
So they've already started assaulting the women. Not a damn thing I can do about it. At least not yet. Now, I may be 2 hours behind the gang at most.
An hour later, Frank caught a faint whiff of smoke. A few minutes later, the smell of smoke was mixed in with the odor of bacon frying. Frank left Stormy ground-reined, and taking his rifle, Frank began cautiously working his way through the timber, following the scent of smoke and bacon frying.
I don't like this at all, Danny. I just don't like sitting here like a dummy waiting for Morgan to show up.
Relax, Shorty. Morgan's a half day behind us. We'll eat, and then we'll get in place to kill the bastard.
And what if he's only half hour behind us? Huh? Don't laugh at me, Danny. What if he's closer?
He ain't that close, Shorty. I can feel it.
You're right about that. I'm right here.
Don't kill me, Morgan!
Oh, I'm not gonna kill you. We're gonna have a nice long talk, you and me.
Huh? Oh, what are we gonna talk about?
You're gonna tell me everything about Val Dooley.
No, I ain't, Morgan. I'm more afeard of Val than I am of you. I ain't gonna tell you a damn thing.
Frank walked to the man and gave him the butt of his rifle on the side of his jaw. Danny hit the ground out cold. When Danny woke up, he was stripped naked and tied to a tree. He could see Frank squatting by the fire doing something.
This ain't decent!
You kidnap and rape women, some of them no more than children, and you talk to me about decency?
What are you doing with that fire, Morgan?
Frank stood up, a running iron in his gloved right hand. The tip of the running iron was glowing red hot.
What the hell are you gonna do with that, Morgan?
I told you, Danny, we're gonna have a long talk.
You ain't gonna burn me, Morgan. You're a lawman. You can't do nothing like that. It ain't legal.
Neither is kidnapping and rape, Danny.
I don't know nothing, Morgan. I swear to you, I don't.
You're a liar, Danny. You better talk to me, and you better start right now.
I won't. Stop!
Frank touched Danny only once with the hot tip of the running iron on the leg. After that, Danny had quite a lot to say to Frank about Val Dooley and his gang, and his hideout, and how to get there. Frank took Danny to the nearest town, which was a half a day's ride away, and told the marshal to lock him up and keep him locked up.
What happens if you don't come back for him?
Then you can shoot him.
Oh, hell, I'll tell you everything, Marshal. You can write it down and I'll sign it. Just get me away from Morgan, that's all I ask.
Well, that's good enough for me. You're going to prison for a long time, mister.
Long as Morgan leaves me alone. That man's as mean as a damn rattlesnake.
Frank provisioned up, including a sack full of dynamite, and rode out. He didn't need to pick up the trail. Thanks to Danny, he knew exactly where the hideout was. He also knew how many men were in Val Dooley's gang. Frank came up on the remains of a woman. She was lying by the side of the trail, naked, the side of her head bashed in. Rigor mortis had not yet set in, and the buzzards and ground varmints had not yet found her, so Frank figured the body had been dumped no more than an hour or so before. Frank did not recognize the woman, so he could only assume she had been taken on another raid by the gang. Frank had no shovel, so he piled rocks on top of the body, said a few quiet words to the Lord, and resumed trailing the gang. As soon as he forded a small river, Frank knew he was in the wilderness, for the country abruptly turned decidedly wild and rough.
No matter. I know where I'm going and how to get there. But caution is going to have to be the key word from this moment on. The gang knows I'm following them. Since Shorty and Danny did not rejoin them, they'll be waiting for me.
Frank deliberately left the trail Danny had outlined for him and began a wide circle, planning to come up at the rear of the outlaw encampment. The wilderness was, so Frank had learned, California's haven for criminals. Danny had also told him that many of the West's most notorious gunslicks, killers, and outlaws called the place home, sometimes for months at a time. This was very rugged country, with mountains ranging from 6,000 to 10,000 feet, with winding canyons, many of them dead ends, and hundreds of places ideal for a deadly ambush.
That'll work both ways.
Frank found a dandy spot to leave Stormy, a shady little cul-de-sac with graze and water that was spring-fed. Frank stashed his spurs in his saddlebags and slung his bedroll and saddlebag and took off walking toward the outlaw town, carrying his rifle in his left hand and the sack of dynamite and caps in the other hand. Another 15 minutes and he topped a rise and looked down on the outlaw town, and it was a crummy-looking place. Frank softly whistled at the size of it. There must be 50 or 60 men inhabiting the place, more than he had counted on. Frank cautiously worked his way around to the rear of the outlaw town, staying on the ridge, which ringed about half of the town, then gently tapered down into flats. He saw no sign of any guards, except on the main road leading into the town. Frank began working his way around to the other side of the town, which would put him off the ridge and into brush and timber on the flats.
I wants me some of that young gal. She's prime.
Now, Val gonna put them up for bids, I hear tell. Ain't nobody outside of his personal gang touching them women till then.
Frank heard voices and immediately slipped into some underbrush, slithering on his belly like a big snake.
Roman guards. Good thinking on someone's part. That someone's probably Val Dooley.
That ain't fair, you ask me.
Nobody did.
For a fact.
You reckon Morgan's gonna show up?
I spec he will. One of them young gals said him and that good-looking blind got something going between them.
Morgan's got good taste.
For a fact.
I'd ride into hell for that one.
Well, you can forget that. Val's got his eyes fixed on keeping her for his private use. Ain't nobody else touching her.
Not even that squirt little Ed Simpson?
Nope, not even him.
So, little Ed is linked up with Val Dooley. Why doesn't that surprise me?
Way I heard it, little Ed's been talking with Val for a few months. Something about the town and his pa's ranch. Now, I don't know all the particulars about that. Sounds interesting, though.
Sure does.
Well, let's make one more pass and then hand this job over to someone else. I'm getting hungry.
And I'm getting itchy for them women.
Well, you can just put some horse salve on that itch. You ain't gonna be lifting no petticoats on none of them gals.
Yeah, not yet anyways, I reckon.
Maybe not never. Listen, you got the money where the bidding starts.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
The men moved on, and Frank crawled out of his hidey hole and stood up.
That was too close. If there's Roman guards, I'm gonna have to be a lot more careful.
Frank stayed in the deep timber and brush until he came to a spot where he either had to go back to remain in the timber or step out into an exposed area. He bellied down, took off his hat, and got his field glasses. Frank adjusted them for range and began studying the town and its inhabitants more closely. He spotted half a dozen outlaws that he knew. There was Goody Nolan, a killer from down Arizona way. Big Thumbs Parker from West Texas. Freckles Burton from Missouri. He was wanted for the brutal killing of an entire family. Breed Vaca, a half-breed from New Mexico. Sam Semple from Colorado. Finally, Frank spotted a man walking along the side of the road picking his nose. Booger Bob.
Good God. Booger Bob. I might have known it.
If there was a gathering of outlaws anywhere in the far reaches of the West, Booger Bob would surely be among them. Booger was a back shooter from Kansas who had drifted into California, liked the climate, and stayed. Frank again lifted the field glasses and studied the town. He found one of the nicer shacks. This one had a full roof and most of the windows, with alert guards both front and back.
That's where the women are being held. I bet on that.
Then Frank saw little Ed come swaggering down the street with a man that had to be Val Dooley. Both Ed and Val wore two guns, tied down, and their clothing was nice, their shirts and breeches clean. Frank studied Val closely. He did strongly resemble Frank, and Frank could understand how people could get them confused.
You're a dead man, Val Dooley.
Frank slipped back into the timber and waited for nightfall. Frank had slipped into town and was crouched by the side of the saloon, listening to the men inside talk. He had already identified half a dozen more outlaws and two of the West's most notorious women outlaws, Sadie Saunders and Bloody Mama Coulson. Both of those women were killers, with at least half a dozen kills each behind them. There was nearly a constant stream of men coming and going to and from the outhouse in the rear of the saloon, some barely able to walk as they staggered about. Frank waited until the privy was cleared, and a lone man came staggering out of the rear of the saloon. Frank popped him on the back of the head with a piece of broken board and dragged the man some distance away from the town. Using the man's belt and bandana, Frank tied him to a tree and slapped him awake.
Ow! Who the hell are you? I can't see you tall. Damn dark out here.
I'm an avenging angel.
Huh?
And you're on your way to hell.
Say what?
I'm one of God's mercenaries.
You ain't neither. You're Frank Morgan.
Then why did you ask?
Well, it seemed like the thing to do at the time. What do you want with me?
I want to kill you.
Whoa now, Morgan. Why would you want to do that? I ain't done nothing to you.
It's what you done to those kidnapped women in town.
Oh, I ain't personal done nothing to none of them women. At least, not them women.
But you've raped other women taken in raids.
Well, sure. So what? All they had to do was give it up without fighting. There wouldn't have been no rape. Giving what they got to a man don't hurt them none. They're all built for it, ain't they? Hellfire, Morgan. That's why they's put on this here earth. To pleasure a man and cook and clean and have kids.
Is that a fact?
Sure is.
You're a pitiful excuse for a man.
Well, maybe you see it that way. Well, that don't make no never mind to me. Not a whit, it don't. But you're gonna be no kind of man in a few minutes, because I'm a fixin' to start hollering. You're gonna be dead.
Frank slipped a long-bladed knife from its sheath on his gun belt and pressed it against the outlaw's neck.
Go ahead, open your mouth to yell. Let's see how fast I can cut your throat. You want to see if you can yell before I do that?
I didn't say when I was going to holler, Morgan. Be careful with that blade. It feels sharp.
Oh, it is. Very sharp.
Frank reached around and cut the man's bonds.
See how sharp it is? Now get up and start walking.
Where to?
I'll tell you when we get there. Get in front of me and start walking. I've decided not to kill you right now.
I sure appreciate that, Morgan. I surely do.
Shut up and listen.
Yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. But I'm having a hard time walking and holding my britches up.
You'll manage. Now shut up and listen to me.
Yes, sir. I'm shutting my mouth right now.
You go back to town and tell that pack of trash down there that exactly 15 minutes after the dawn, I'm going to start killing every outlaw I see. You understand that?
Do I answer now?
Yeah.
I sure do understand it. I surely do.
If anyone ride out, be saddled up and ready to ride at dawn. At 16 minutes after the dawning, the offer is null and void.
It's what?
It's off.
Oh, I know what that means. I will sure spread your message, Morgan. I surely will do it.
Fine. Now get the hell out of here.
Does it get my pistol back?
What do you think?
I reckon not.
You reckon right. Move!
The man went stumbling off into the night toward the town. Frank went back and got his saddlebags and rifle and other gear and moved to a place he had picked earlier, a spot that overlooked the town and gave him good cover. Frank spread his ground sheet on the ground, rolled up in his blanket, and went to sleep. Just as the sun began to shove rays of light over the eastern slopes of the wilderness, about a dozen men walked out of the barn leading their horses. Their saddlebags were full, and bedrolls were tied behind their saddles.
We're pulling out, Morgan! We don't want no trouble with you! You hear?
The men mounted up and rode out without looking back.
Let them yellow bellies go! We're staying here, and we're gonna kill you, Morgan! You hear that?
Now, let's go!
Half a dozen men ran from the rear of the town into the nearby timber. It would take the men a good half hour of cautious, slow searching to reach his hiding place. Frank had his rifle fully loaded, and three pistols, all three fully loaded. His cartridge belt was full, and he had a bandolier of cartridges slung across his chest bandit style. And he had a sack of dynamite, about half of it capped and fused.
What's the matter, Morgan? You made your brag, and why don't you come out and fight?
I don't think he's up yonder, boys. I think he's done gone yellow on us and pulled out.
Several more men stepped out into the open. Two fast shots later, and two of the outlaws lay dead on the ground. Frank had time to at least get lead in a third before the others hightailed it back behind cover, dragging the wounded man with them.
You ambushing bastard! You're a damn yeller coward! That's what you are, Morgan! You boys heard the shots? He's up yonder on the ridge, in the rocks and brush, about 100 yards from town.
He killed Slim and Wally, and Nick's hard hit. Get that no good bastard. Kill him.
Good. Three less I have to deal with.
Frank laid his rifle aside for a moment and took out a couple of sticks of short-fused dynamite. Then he dug in his jacket pocket, making certain he had matches.
Y'all seen him yet?
No.
I think he's done shifting locations.
We ain't spotted him neither.
Frank centered his attention on the team coming up on his left. He had slipped out of thick cover to get a better throwing position.
We're here, but Morgan ain't. I think he's done moved on us.
Frank lit the short fuse and hurled it. The stick of dynamite landed directly in front of one man, killing him instantly. The concussion knocked the other two sprawling. One lay still on the rocky ground. The other one staggered to his feet, looking dazed.
What in the hell was all that? Answer me! Morgan's using dynamite, Rich!
Frank slipped behind the brush he had been using and angled around, on a collision course with the second team.
Can you see him?
If I could see the bastard, I'd shoot him. No, I can't see him.
But Frank saw him. He lit and tossed the dynamite. The stick of dynamite exploded right in front of a man in midair about chest high. The explosion took the man's head off and sent the headless man rolling down the hill. His friends took off running. Frank dropped one with a leg shot. The third one made the timber, and Frank could hear him thrashing through the brush, hauling his butt down the hill. Frank ran back to his gear, wrapped it up, and took off into the timber, heading for another location on the far side of town.
This ain't working out worth a damn! Gonna have to rush him, boys!
Frank stopped to rest for a moment and looked down at the town. From this new vantage point, the town was only about 75 yards below him. There was no movement from the outlaws.
Incredible.
Frank wormed his way into his new location, again in the rocks and brush, and took a sip of water from his canteen and ate a hunk of bread. Then he heard the pounding hooves of fast-running horses. Startled, Frank jerked up his rifle. Half a dozen riders were racing out of town.
Well, I'll just be damned. Running out. Probably less than 30 outlaws left in town.
If you don't get the hell gone from here and leave us alone, Morgan, we'll start killing the women. You hear me, Morgan?
Frank abruptly shifted locations, this time to a spot just above the one road leading out of the outlaw town.
Hey, Morgan! While we's waiting for you to make up your mind, we'll just have us a taste of one of these young gals. We want you to listen to her. You ready for this, Morgan? Listen to her now!
Oh, no! No! Oh, no! No!
There was nothing Frank could do. He waited in silence, letting his anger wash over him in invisible clouds of rage. The day wore on, and the woman's screaming finally subsided into low moans, then into silence. Frank spent part of his time capping and fusing sticks of dynamite. At full dark, he was going to take the fight into the town.
We're tired now, Morgan. Whew, we done had our pleasures with the fillies. We're gonna take us a rest now while we's waiting for you, Morgan.
I'll be along, boys. Just as sure as the sun sets and the moon rises, I'll be along. And when I'm through, your town will be a ghost town in more ways than one.
Frank left his rifle on the ridge and carried only his pistols and the sack of capped and fused dynamite. He had capped and fused all the dynamite. Frank stepped around the corner of a building and came face to face with an outlaw. Frank looked through the cracks in a building and saw three men, all heavily armed, sitting at a table playing cards. Frank slipped a stick of dynamite out of his pouch and took a match from his pocket.
I want me some more of that kid. I can't get me enough of that.
Val said before he pulled out with them others this morning, we could use them up and then kill them. So keep your damn britches on, Lars. She'll be here waiting when we get shut of Frank Morgan.
So Val, most likely Little Ed too, pulled out and are long gone. Figured that'd be the case.
I like the way that young'un hollers and squalls when I get with her. I like to slap her around and settle her down when I've had enough of her whimpering and crying.
It's because you're a pig, Lars.
Well, maybe I am that, Waddy. But you poke your share of that other young gal, as I recall, right?
Yeah, and I aim to get me some more of it too, Lars. But first, we gotta get ourselves rid of Morgan.
What I want me is some more of that cold-looking blonde. She needs a good beat to show her who's boss, and I aim to give her another one.
She She sure ain't one to beg none, is she? I never seen a woman take on a whole line of men and not beg for mercy.
That does it.
Frank popped the match head into flame, touched the flame to the fuse, jerked off one of the boards covering the broken window, and tossed the stick of dynamite into the room.
Jesus Christ!
Good riddance.
Men began running out of a building close by, and Frank pulled out his Colts and started evening the score. Frank jumped into a ditch and quickly reloaded his gun.
Somebody kill that son of a bitch!
Where is he?
Right here.
Several men ran out of an alley and ran right into the guns of Frank Morgan. Frank quickly reloaded and again shifted positions, this time darting into an alley and running across the rutted street. He crouched beside a shack and waited.
Cecil! Where is you, Cease?
Down here, Luke.
Not more than a dozen yards away. Probably on the other side of this building.
How many boys you got with you, Cease?
Five, I think. You?
About that, I reckon. Got some hurt real bad. They ain't gonna make it neither. One of them's innards is all hanging out. It's plumb sickening. That goddamn dynamite really screwed it all up.
That last bunch got some lead in Morgan's direction. I seen it. Maybe he got hit, you think?
I hope. But I ain't counting on it. Hell, didn't nobody figure the man would really come down into town after us?
We gotta kill him, Luke. We're all gonna die if we don't. You know that, don't you?
I know.
Or give it up.
I thought about that, too. Believe me, I have.
Reckon he'd let us?
I ain't above axing him. You?
Me neither.
Y'all ax if you wanna. I ain't giving up. Not me. I aim to kill that bastard and take that cold-looking blonde woman and have my way with her. And I know some ways that'll make her squall.
You do what you want, Sam. We'll do what we want. Right, Cease?
Damn right.
Y'all yeller, that's what you are. I got Ham and Otis and Louie and Wilson with me. We're gonna kill that damn Morgan. You hear me, Morgan? You're a dead man.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be the one who shoots your eyes out, Morgan. My name is Ham Niederland. I want you to remember that name in the time you got left you. Ham Niederland. He's so damn yeller, he won't even answer nobody. Hey, you reckon he took lead and is hurt bad?
I wouldn't count on that. He's just laying low, biding his time. He's waiting for the right moment to strike.
I think you're yelling too, Cease. You and Luke. I think both of you done pissed your pants, you're so feared of Morgan.
Think what you want to think, Hambone.
Don't you call me Hambone, Cease! Damn your scummy eyes! I'll kill you if you call me Hambone! No, neither of you dare laugh at me! My God, I'll kill you both!
Cease, Luke, get your gear together and clear out. Go far away. Don't ever let me see either of you again. If I do, I'll kill you. Now get out of here. I'll let you both ride out.
We're gone, Morgan. You'll not see neither of us again, I promise you that.
Good. Now clear out of here. If some of your own friends don't kill you when you try, that is.
Let's go, Cease. Careful now.
I'm going the back way to the livery. Meet you there.
Well, I ain't scared of you, Morgan.
You tell him, Mama.
Go get him, bloody Mama.
You might be a stallion now, Morgan. But when I get done with you, you're gonna be a gelding. I'm gonna rip your nuts off, Morgan.
You tell him, Sadie.
Lovely ladies.
On a sudden hunch, Frank decided to shift locations. He slipped away silently, just as he spotted several dark shapes moving toward his old position.
Just in time. Getting me to talk was just a setup by Cease and Luke.
Frank crawled under one building and, as quietly as possible, wriggled out the other side.
The bastard's gone, Luke.
In the very dim light, Frank could see the legs of the man. He sighted in on the man's knee and squeezed the trigger.
I'm hit, Luke! Oh, God, it hurts something awful! Get it for me!
Hell with this! I'm gone! Good luck, Cease!
Damn you! You can't leave me like this! I can't walk, Luke! Come help me! I thought you was my pard!
So much for honor among thieves.
Morgan, you motherfucker! You piece of shit! You're dead!
You just wait, you cocksucker, and see what we do to those women after I'll kill you!
Yeah! As soon as we get our hands on your dead body, we're gonna cut your carcass up and make the women cook and eat your ass!
And then we'll pickle your dick and preserve it and show it to the people!
Yeah! Maybe charge admission to see it!
What a couple of nice ladies.
Hey, Morgan! This is Bob! Booger Bob! I got me a bullet with your name on it, Morgan!
Frank shifted locations again, this time moving to the far end of the street, behind the last building in the ramshackle town. The building was without most of its roof and minus a part of one wall.
Hey, Morgan! You know where I'm gonna shoot you? I'm gonna stick my rifle up your ass and blow your balls off!
This bunch is sure getting inventive about what to do with me.
Frank darted across the road and peeked into the building where the women were being held. The two men guarding them were tense and at the ready. Frank could see some of the women, all huddled together under blankets at the far end of the building.
Time to bring this battle to a conclusion.
Frank moved cautiously behind the buildings. Frank lit the fuse to a stick of dynamite and tossed it under a building, then ran two buildings up and squatted down just as the explosive blew. The floor of the old building was shattered by the charge and the walls puffed out. The roof collapsed, falling on top of those trapped inside. One man staggered out and Frank shot him.
Let's get him!
A knot of men came running through the darkness. Frank lit another stick and tossed it. The outlaws ran right into it. The explosion sent some of them spinning like tops and sent bits and pieces of others hurtling into the night. Frank ran back down the back of the shacks of the main street of the outlaw town.
Hey, Morgan! Can we make some kind of a deal? This is Goody Nolan, Morgan. We run into each other a time or two. I can only speak for myself and the two men I rode in here with, Shiv Lopez and Aaron Samuels. You know them both. We're next to the livery, Morgan. Now we can ride and circle around, get clear of town and any of the others who might want to shoot us for pulling out. If you don't say nothing, then I'll take that as a deal made, Morgan. We're gone, Morgan.
Several minutes later, Frank heard the sound of horses' hooves, the riders riding as fast as they could from the town.
You yellow bastards! Ain't a one of you got no balls!
Cowards! No good pissants!
Frank had moved back to the building where the women were held, where the two men were guarding them.
Goody's got on the right idea. Let's get the hell out of here, boys.
What about the women?
Hell with them. Looky here, gals. Me and the boys are pulling out. Y'all stay quiet, don't yell or nothing. Your man's gonna luck up and win this fight and you'll be safe.
If I ever see you again, I'll kill you myself.
You won't see me again, lady. Bet on that.
Oh, let's do it, Dag. Let's get gone.
Frank slipped under the old building and waited until the men had exited the building. He listened as they rode away, taking the same route as Goody and his pals. Frank stood up, brushed off the dirt from his clothing, and stepped into the building, mentally preparing himself for the worst as he viewed the women close up.
Don't say a word.
Lara stood up, holding a blanket around her to cover her nakedness.
Frank, I felt sure you'd come.
Lara's face was swollen and puffy from being beaten. All the women were in very bad shape. Two of them, Frank noted, could not even stand up. The two men who had hastily pulled out had left behind two rifles leaning in a corner of the building. Frank picked one up and checked it, then handed the weapon to Lara.
You know how to use this, Lara?
Oh, yes.
I gotta clean this place out. There's still some snakes that need to be stomped on. Lara, if I don't come back...
I know. They won't take any of us alive, Frank.
All right, Lara. Who's that lying on the floor?
One of the women they kidnapped earlier. She died about an hour ago. Val beat her with his fists yesterday. She never regained consciousness.
I'll be back.
We're counting on it, Frank.
Frank slipped out of the building and stood for a moment, letting his eyes adjust once more to the night. He reached into the sack hanging from his gun belt and pulled out a stick of dynamite. Then Frank walked to the next house and pressed his ear to the outside wall. He could hear the muffled sound of voices. He lit the dynamite and tossed the sputtering stick under the house, then ran for cover. The dynamite blew, and the old building completely collapsed. The walls blew out, and the roof came crashing down. Just then, Frank heard the sounds of galloping horses. He looked toward the road and could just make out the shapes of about a half a dozen or so horses. The last of the outlaws were pulling out. They were calling it quits. Frank began walking the town, looking for survivors. He found the outlaw with the busted knee, Cecil. Frank squatted down and looked at the man. Someone had bashed his head in and turned his pockets inside out, stealing whatever the man had. They had also taken his guns.
Nice friends you had, Cease.
Frank leveled a rifle at the driver of a heavily laden supply wagon, and the men lifted their hands.
Whoa! I ain't nothing but a delivery man, mister. I'll come with the supplies. But I know you. You're Frank Morgan. Booger Bob stopped me on the road in, said you was here, said you'd pay me.
I'll pay you. Go to the livery and saddle your horse. Get out. I ought to shoot you dead for consorting with the trash that lived here.
How about my money?
Frank tossed him a sack of gold coins he'd taken from the dead outlaws at first light.
There's your money. Now get the hell gone from here.
The driver was gone 10 minutes later. He did not look back. Frank drove the wagon down to the livery and unhooked the team. He rubbed them down and forked hay to them, then unloaded the wagon. Laura walked down to the barn and stood in silence for a moment, watching him.
Is that how we're leaving, Frank? In that wagon?
Yeah. I'll put hay in the bed to cushion the ride. We'll pull out in the morning.
How far is the nearest town?
About 4 days in this wagon. It isn't going to be a pleasant trip.
Neither was the ride here or our stay.
No, I'm sure it wasn't. But it's over now.
It will never be over, Frank. Not in our minds, that is. Our bodies will heal, but not our minds.
I reckon not, Laura.
Did you bury the dead men, Frank?
I put their bodies in a shack. I'll set it on fire in the morning. That'll have to do.
It's more than they deserve.
I'm sure of that.
I'll gather up as many blankets as I can, Frank. And those of us who are able will heat some water for a bath of sorts. We have to bathe, Frank. Do I have to explain that?
No, I understand.
Good.
As soon as I get done here, I'll fix us something to eat. Big pot of stew or something. Soup, maybe.
Whatever, Frank. I made some coffee. It's on the stove.
Thanks. I could use some.
When Frank finished in the livery, he walked the town, making one last check to see if he'd missed any outlaws that might still be alive. He then went to the building where the women were and sat down. He was tired. Very tired.
Mr. Morgan?
Frank looked into the battered face of young Lydia Wilson.
Yeah, honey?
What am I going to tell my papa and mama?
Truth, Lydia. Much of it as you think they can stand to bear.
And how much is that?
I don't know, honey. Maybe you can talk to Doc Evans. He can help you with that. You're going to have to see him.
I know. But I don't know what to say to him. It's, well, so personal and... Isn't it awful?
I think I'll be heading back east, Frank. I still have some family back there.
Might be a good idea.
I could never live in Chance again, Frank. I couldn't face the townspeople day after day. I just couldn't.
It'd be a hard thing, I'm sure.
Would you come back east with me, Frank?
No, Laura. I couldn't live back yonder. Too damn many rules and regulations for me. I like my freedom.
People are free back there.
No, they're not. They just think they are. We've had this discussion before. It just wouldn't work for me.
Dixie Malone walked into the livery and watched Frank for a moment.
Let me do that, Mr. Morgan.
You sure?
It would help get my mind off things.
I reckon so. Sure, I'll get a fire going and we'll fix something to eat.
Those among us who are married are wondering how much we should tell our husbands.
I can't answer that, Dixie. How strong is your husband?
You don't mean physical strength, do you?
No,
he's a mighty jealous man, I can tell you that.
You tell him what you think he needs to know, Dixie. I'm gonna talk to the men, tell them what I personally saw and heard. Tell them up to a point, that is.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
The next morning, Frank set fire to the outlaw town, torching every building. As they pulled out, the outlaw town was blazing. There were 9 women to be transported back home, 6 from the town of Chance, and 3 others from nearby farms. One of them, a woman called Pearl, had seemingly lost her mind. She never spoke a word. She just sat quite still in the bed of the wagon and slobbered down the front of her dress.
2 outlaws at once took her several times. It was awful to watch. Little Ed was among them.
I intend to find them all, Dixie. I'll see they get justice.
After the last assault on her, her eyes just sort of glazed over and she never said nothing else to nobody.